Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Like I haven't seen you in a bit in a bob.
I know. We took a break again.
We did.
So sorry.
That's so on brand. But did you guys like the Patreon episode?
That is the question.
That was a crazy one. Mm. That case was awful. But yes, so if you've considered joining our Patreon, we've had a few signups recently. So, thank you for joining Patreon, and
we're excited to have you.
We're excited to have you and give you bonus content every month.
Yeah.
And I need to start doing the current events again.
Yeah, we've been lackadaisical with that.
We have. Have you guys heard about Rob Reiner and his wife were murdered?
Yes.
Just a day ago, a couple days ago, apparently, allegedly by their son.
Right.
Oh my goodness. If you look back at photos of him, like at premieres and things with his dad and his mom, he looks like scary.
There's been a long list of and a long history of mental issues with this guy. And it's just really sad.
It is so sad. It is so, so sad. Oof. It's too early to tell what's going to go down or what happened. Like, we really don't know much at this point. But whoa.
Yeah. I mean, there were people the night before witnessing things within the behavior
of
the family.
Oh, really? Tell me about it. I didn't
read
that.
So, at the Reiners went to Conan O'Brien's Christmas party.
Oh, really?
And their son was with them, and they had a heated, loud argument there before they left to go home.
Holy crap.
And then they're stabbed to death.
Wow.
So... motive is there.
Yeah. And I did read that he had had some, that their son had addiction, homelessness, which you think, well, your parents live in Brentwood, you know?
Yeah.
But you can never really know the situation, but it's just sad. It's real, real sad.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah. But I used to do it quite often, more often than, well, it's been several months, to be honest with you, but I like to pick a headline or something that's currently in the news or currently in trial or something like that to go over on Patreon. So I'm going to be better about that in the new year. I will be better about that in the new year.
All right. You heard it, guys.
Listen, you know what I'm also going to do better in the new year is I'm going to slow down.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to slow down.
So you're making resolutions this year?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm making a resolution because I can't keep operating like this.
No, something's got to give.
Something has to give. And, you know...
and if mama's drained, you can't be taking care of the sweet little baby girls.
I can't because I'm miserable. Yeah. And I don't want my kids to be like, ugh. Yeah. My mom's wreck.
Mom's tired all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, she's a wreck. Like, look at her. But it was funny because the other night I went to a painting class. My high school painting class, Miss Troutman.
Oh.
She was teaching a class. And so me and Kayla, shout out Kayla and Piper, they didn't get our first shout out. So second shout out. But we went and I put makeup on to go. And the girls, before I left the house, were like, oh, you're so beautiful. And I was like, y'all aren't used to me wearing makeup.
See, that's why you shouldn't wear makeup all the time so that you can get
so
that
can
reaction.
Knock their socks
Absolutely.
Off. Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got dressed for a Christmas party the other day and, you know, dress, heels, and makeup. And
people were just falling all over themselves.
No, Chase was like, you look very pretty.
Aww.
So he always, he's such a schmoozer.
He is a schmooze.
He likes to tell me when I look pretty and I'm like, what do you want?
He's got the smolder as well.
Oh my gosh. He sure does. That kid.
Oh,
he knows he's cute.
Boys. Oh, what a different world we're living in.
Oh, yeah.
What a different world. I've got small girls. You've got older boys. What night and day.
I know.
But then there's probably some like crossover there. Like there's probably a lot of similarities too. Because like we're always running out of snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I bought 4 bags of chips for I don't even want to tell you how much.
Oh my gosh.
And they can eat one bag just in 30 minutes. I'm like, y'all need to stop.
Daniel's the worst. He'll take them to his office and I'll be like, where's the chips?
Yeah.
And then I'll see a plastic bag blowing through the wind.
Yeah. A Bible study that I'm doing is the Proverbs 31 woman. And there's a portion in it that talks about providing food for your family and portions. And when you're talking about providing food, you're talking about providing healthy food.
Right.
And here I am giving these kids powdered donuts.
But did the proverb say anything about inflation? Okay. Like, did they factor that in at all? Okay.
Her trading is profitable. So if she's trading well, she will have the means.
Okay. Well, you know what? I serve healthy things to my children and they spurn it.
Yeah.
They just don't like it.
Yeah.
And so I bought Grüns. This is not an ad, by the way. I bought the Grüns, the viral superfood green gummy bears.
Okay.
Well, Hazel doesn't like them. Twins like them, but yeah. And Hazel's like, I don't want to eat these. And I'm like, you can either eat these or a pile of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Choose.
And does she choose wisely?
She'll eat them.
Yeah,
they taste like a vitamin.
Gotcha.
They're sweet. They're good. I like them. Mm-hmm. They're fine, but they have a taste.
They're not like the Flintstones where we try to eat them like candy.
They kind of taste like Flintstones, to be honest. That's what Daniel said the other day.
Really?
That they tasted like Flintstones once. But yeah, I mean, yeah. I try to feed my children healthy, but you know, it doesn't always work.
Yeah. I'm like, one night we'll have chicken and rice and, you know, all this good stuff. And then the next day we're eating like
a hot dog.
Yeah. And chips. So, yeah.
Listen, I follow this lady on Instagram. She's a nutritionist.
Okay.
And she's a family nutritionist. But she's like, feeding your kids is better than not feeding your kids.
Okay.
So if it's chicken nuggets and macaroni, then that's what it is.
They're not going to bed hungry.
Right. They're not going to bed hungry. And also, this is a phase. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Keep introducing those foods and keep them in rotation. But
I think that's great advice.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Got to give yourself grace where you can.
That's right.
So, anywho,
yeah.
Do you want to get into the story? It's been like 9 minutes and
they didn't
seconds.
Come here to listen to Confessions
didn't.
By Candace and Elena.
Right.
Cousins on Confessions.
Right.
Confessions with Cousins. I don't know. All right. We'll get into it. We're going to Robinson, Texas. This is South Texas.
Robinson.
Close to Waco.
It's so funny because I feel like people say such and such Texas all the time and I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Like, oh, where's that?
The like big Quitman.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not gonna talk about Quitman.
Yeah, Quitman, Texas.
Mm-hmm. So Robinson is like a little suburb of Waco, if that makes more sense.
That does make a lot of sense.
I know it does to you because your Magnolia Market is
that's
there.
Right. I was just there a couple weekends ago.
I know, and you didn't ask me to go, but that's okay. You were having a date with Hazel. Or Daisy. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Next time you'll go.
Okay. So it's a small town where everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody calls your friend.
Okay.
I won't keep on. Keith Gentry met Darlene at Texas State Technical Institute.
That is such a South Texas name. Keith Gentry and Darlene.
Darlene. And y'all, if y'all heard her talk, she'd be talking just like this. Okay. So yeah, Darlene was the homecoming queen, you know, small town royalty. Nice. She was studying to be a dental assistant, and Darlene and Keith had dated off and on. And when they graduated, Keith stayed in Robinson close to his parents, and Darlene moved back to Dallas for a short time.
Okay. So a couple hours away.
Right.
A good couple hours.
Yeah.
All right.
For those of you who don't know. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was missing Keith, or just missed Robinson, the small town. You know, Dallas is big city.
Yeah.
Nobody really. I don't. Why would you want to move to Dallas?
Why? Why?
And just so you know, Dallas and Fort Worth are not the same.
We are rivals.
Okay.
No, they're not the same.
So Darlene ends up moving back to Robinson, and she continued dating Keith while she started nursing school. And then they got married in 1999. His parents really took Darlene in as their own. Keith and Darlene bought a house right next to Keith's parents.
Oh, cool.
I know, just a really tight-knit family. Mm-hmm. Within the next 5 or 6 years, they would have 3 little boys running around.
Oh.
Now, Keith was a proud dad. Aww. He loved those boys and wanted to teach them everything he knew. Keith worked at a drafting company, and he and Darlene, they liked to go out dancing and just had a lot of fun together, and they laughed a lot together.
Aww.
So dispatch received a call in the early morning hours of November 9th, 2005.
Okay.
It's Darlene Gentry on the other line, and she starts by telling dispatch that she woke up. She was in her son's room because she couldn't sleep, and the back door was open, and she says, "My husband's guns are all gone. There is blood on the bed, and he's gurgling foam out of his mouth."
Oh.
The Robinson Police Department arrived very quickly, I mean, within 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and found Keith Gentry lying on the bed with a gunshot wound to his head.
Oh.
He was still breathing, and he was taken to the hospital.
Jeez.
Police start making note of all the surroundings really quick, going room to room and walking the perimeters of the home to make sense of how in the world did this happen? Is there still a threat in the midst? There were several guns laying on the front yard in the grass. Yeah, right next to the sidewalk leading up to the house.
Okay.
While Keith is fighting for his life, investigators asked Darlene to come in and answer questions about the events of that morning. They needed every detail that they could find, or so that they could find the intruder and the shooter. She really did not want to leave her husband fighting alone at the hospital. She wanted to be with him, but she knew that she needed to help with the investigation, of course. So Darlene walks them through her perspective of the morning. She was a light sleeper because she was the one always taking care of the kids. The kids were having trouble sleeping that night, and actually one of them wasn't feeling well. The first time she woke up that morning was about 3 o'clock in the morning to tend to the one that wasn't feeling well. She ended up staying in her son's room for the next few hours, falling asleep while they watched a movie. She woke up and realized she was going to be late starting her day. And at this point, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So when she walked out of the boy's room, she felt a draft in the air. And that's when she made a startling discovery that the back door was open. She walked by the gun case and saw that Keith's guns were missing.
Oof.
She called out to Keith as she went to the bedroom to look for him. She's like, "Keith,
that's so chilling.
The guns are not here. Like,
the door's open."
Yeah. So she walks to the bedroom, and when she turned on the light, she was horrified to see him laying on the bed with blood around his head. She could see that his stomach was going up and down, so She knew that he was still breathing, but when but he had foam coming from his mouth.
Oh no.
She shook his leg and she called out his name, but there was no response. And then immediately she picked up her cell phone and called 911. The Texas Rangers took over the investigation, not the baseball team, just so you know. I think one
As
of
in Chuck Norris.
I was about to say, I think one of them was named Walker. If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. When Glenda and Wayman, Keith's parents, heard what was going on outside, they ran next door.
Oh, their next door.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They ran outside. And as they're running up to Keith's house, they're told by law enforcement to stay in their yard. The law enforcement's yelling at them, stay in your yard. Do not come over here. Could you imagine being a parent, no, not getting any answers of, I mean, your grandkids are in that
right.
house, your son.
Yeah.
They watched as Keith was wheeled out on the stretcher and taken to the hospital by the ambulance.
Oh gosh, that's so sad.
Glenda begged the detective to tell her what happened. He finally told her that Keith had been shot in the back of the head, but he was breathing when he left there. Darlene told detectives that someone broke in and stole the guns. They couldn't find any evidence of forced entry to the house. The door was wide mm-hmm. open. I don't know about wide open. It was open. Mm-hmm. The gun case was unlocked by a key, not broken into.
Okay.
Yes, the guns were missing out of the case, but they were still on the property and nothing else had been taken from the home that they could see.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the only fingerprints that were on the gun safe and the guns themselves were Darlene's.
Okay.
And of course, there's a high possibility of Darlene's prints being on them because she lived there.
She lives there, yeah.
But the lack of being able to find any other print that didn't belong to her was really weird to them. You know, if there's an intruder, there might be prints. But on the other hand, they could be wearing gloves.
Right.
But it just didn't sit right with detectives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why did the intruder only shoot Keith and leave? Why wouldn't they go for the rest of the family?
Right. And also, like, it feels like if someone had come in the middle of the night, maybe Keith wouldn't have stayed in his bed. Maybe he would have heard and been killed somewhere else in the house.
Right. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So Darlene insists that the only time she touched Keith that morning was when she shook his leg and got no response from him. But what was odd was that there was blood in the bathroom sink.
What?
When they asked her about the blood in the sink, she looked at them with a look of confusion and was like, blood? I don't know. Investigators also thought it odd that Darlene had medical training. Remember, she was a nurse.
Yes, that's right.
But she chose not to render aid to her husband. She explained that she was in shock and was more concerned about getting her kids out of and away from the situation.
Yeah.
She says her mama instinct showed up, not the nurse instinct,
okay.
Which, I mean, I could understand
I
that.
I can understand that.
The dispatcher even directed Darlene to perform CPR, but she never did.
Mm. I always wonder about medical professionals. Like, I know that they have an instinct to go into life-saving mode when needed.
Right.
But like, if it's your family member,
if it's that personal,
is there something in you? I mean, maybe people are like yelling at us, no, 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 you would do it. You would do it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
To see. Because you just never know how you're going to react.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, yeah, I mean, I've had CPR training mm-hmm. and I didn't tell you, I haven't talked to you about this, but a few months ago outside of my parents' house, there was a guy.
You did tell me about this.
Did I tell you?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. So, yeah, I called 911 for this guy and I know in the back of my mind, the dispatcher was telling me to do CPR, but I just went ahead and started doing compressions. Like, I didn't even hear what she was saying,
right?
Because I just jumped.
It was just into action. Yeah.
And so is she on the call and she's just not paying attention to what the dispatcher's saying? She's, I don't know.
She's thinking about her kids, like, okay, yeah. I've got to get to my kids, or I've got to get them out of the house, or like, is someone still in here?
Right.
That would freak me out. Like if the door was still open.
Absolutely.
And all of that. So, I mean, yeah.
But to your point, yes, you don't know how you're going to react.
Right.
I mean, all these people can be like, oh, if that mm-hmm. happened, I would, you don't know.
You don't know.
So during the interview, she was giving every little detail of the morning, like even when she woke up at the 3 o'clock hour to help her son. And
yeah,
she changed his poopy diaper and all, you know, all these little details. And when somewhere in between, she tells them about this little puppy that they recently got, explaining little details about him and how he barks a lot. And she had all of these details detailing the night into the early morning. But when questioned if the back door was unlocked when she went to bed, she couldn't give a clear answer. I mean, she normally keeps it locked, but she remembers opening the door, unlocking the door, opening it to throw the poopy diaper outside, but she doesn't remember at 3 o'clock in the morning if she locked the door back.
Okay.
The detective stopped the interview to answer a call and then proceeds to tell Darlene that she's needed at the hospital to make medical decisions for Keith.
Oh,
my gosh. She knew exactly what that meant. She put her head in her hands and she cried.
Oh, no.
But to this point, she never asked to leave the interview room to go be with her husband. I mean, yeah, she didn't want to go in the first place. She wanted to be with her husband, mm-hmm. but she never was like emphatic that she needed to get back.
Yeah, like, is there any updates?
Right. And they thought this was odd.
Mm-hmm.
So the interview's cut short and Darlene was taken to the hospital and was able to sign the paperwork to take Keith off of life support.
Mm.
She was then taken back to the station for further questioning.
God almighty.
I know. Brutal.
Jeez. Okay. Well, we're going to need you to come back now.
Yeah. I mean, say goodbye to your husband and let's go back.
You can call the funeral home later. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. And whew, this was a long day for Darlene. She's up at 3 o'clock in the morning and here it is. I don't know what time she went back to.
I would be crumpled in a corner somewhere.
Absolutely.
I'd be laying on the floor and being like, I just give me 20 minute nap.
Yeah.
And I'll be right with you.
Well, hold that thought.
Yeah.
So when she realizes that the detectives are honing in to her as the prime suspect and they ask her to sign a statement, this is when she asks for a lawyer. And she says, she's like, look, it's been a long day. I've tried telling y'all everything that I remember. And my sisters have told me not to sign anything.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't want to say anything that's going to bite me in the butt because I'm so tired right now. Good for her.
Listen, I would, you know, we say you don't know what you do in that situation. I would do exactly that.
I hope I would.
I'd be like, look, I've said everything and I'm going to have an attorney now.
Yeah.
Because I'm delirious.
Yeah. I was watching an interview with a whole separate case and they brought this woman in for an interview and she sits down, she crosses her arms, and as soon as the detective sits down and says one word, she says, I want a lawyer. I'm like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Anyways, so they let her leave.
Mm-hmm.
Detectives did determine that out of all the guns left on the lawn, only one of Keith's guns were missing.
Oh.
It was a .22 caliber 9-shot revolver.
Oh.
Wayman, Keith's father, said he is the one that gave Keith the gun, so he knew it should have been there. He knew Keith had that gun, and it's gone. So one of the officers looked through the trash can in the kitchen at Keith's and Darlene's house and found a latex surgical glove.
Oh.
that was turned inside out. You know, just rummaging through the trash. Mm-hmm. What's in here? And the glove was at the bottom of the trash under food and other trash.
Ew.
Yeah, not a fun job. So inside the glove was a .22 caliber shell.
Oh.
The DNA on the glove belonged to none other than Darlene Gentry.
Whoa.
And the glove did have gunshot residue.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty damning. That's
pretty bad. Not a good look here. Yeah.
The autopsy produced the bullet that was lodged in Keith's head. It was a .22 caliber, but the bullet was too damaged to compare ballistics.
Okay.
Going back to the 911 call, I don't know about you when you listened to this, but when I listened to this, I immediately was like, girl, that's not how you start this conversation. Because she immediately starts painting the picture, like starting from the beginning of the morning. The door was open. I walked out of my son's room. I slept in my son's room. And then, you know, it's all this blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Then, oh, and the husband was shot and he's bleeding on the bed. Like, no, ma'am.
Yeah. Like,
start with
the bad news first.
My husband's been shot. I need help. Get right here fast.
Uh-huh. Okay. So when I worked in the pharmacy and I had people, like the people come in for their methadone, they wanted to refill it, you know, and they're talking and they're like, so this is what happened. And then, so at a very young age, I started working in the pharmacy at 16.
Uh-huh.
At a very young age, I learned when people talk too much, they're hiding something.
Oh, yes.
However, just to play devil's advocate, I have anxiety.
Mm.
And so if I were in that situation, like if I were being questioned or something like that, and I felt the slightest bit of they're looking at me,
yeah,
like maybe I did this, I would start running my mouth. I think I would start like,
how can I get out of this?
I would start giving details. Mm. To an extent,
right?
I think so. When I see people doing things like this,
mm-hmm.
it does look really bad.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
oh, but you can kind of relate, you,
girl. You're kind of unhinged a little bit like that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, definitely say. I mean, I feel like I would definitely call 911 and say my husband's been shot in the right. head.
Yeah,
like please get here now. And then I'd be like.
And then they'd be like, well, ma'am, what happened?
Yeah.
And that's when you start.
That's when I would start with all the details.
So, yeah, that was odd to the detectives. Yeah,
it is.
With all the circumstantial evidence they had.
And physical. I mean, they've got her DNA on the glove with the shell casing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible. Why would you put it in your trash can?
You put it at the bottom of the trash can. Oh, they'll never move this nasty food to look under.
Put it in the maybe garbage disposal. Try and flush it. I don't know. Like there are other places you could have put it.
Yeah. Goodness. But yeah, so she was arrested on November 28th. But Keith's parents, they posted her $50,000 bail because they just did not think that their daughter-in-law could do this.
Right.
I mean, they loved her.
Y'all would post Daniel's bail.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even if he had blood all over his hand and a knife in his hand and I was stabbed to death.
I mean, you just
y'all can't be like, no, not Daniel.
You can't help but to love Daniel.
I know. You can't help it. I can't help it.
I know. I'm so glad you found him.
I know. Me too.
Okay. Let's not get sappy here. Darlene started talking about moving out of her house, you know, because with the tragic memories that were there, she was ready to move on.
Oh.
This was like, so she's arrested, she's out on bail, and so she's just living life, and she decides that she wants to move. She doesn't want to stay at this house anymore because of the tragic memories. And the time came when Darlene started looking for the new home. She reached out to a land developer, Robert Pavelka. He took her to look at a 5-acre lot. There was a pond on the land, and she thought it would be perfect, especially to honor Keith, because this is something that he always wanted to do with the kids, was take them fishing. And he would have loved to have a body of water, mm-hmm. a pond on, and some acres of land. So she thought it would just honor him.
Okay.
So Darlene tells this guy that she was going to think about it. She wanted to come out here again by herself just to get a good feel. And he was like, sure, yeah, go ahead. Come out here anytime you want and just let me know what you decide.
Mm-hmm.
She decides she does want it after all. And in the middle of the process of buying the land and all the paperwork, she completely changed her mind about the pond.
Oh.
She said, I still want the land, but I don't want the pond.
Wait a minute.
She said after talking to her mom about the land, they decided that it was going to be too dangerous for the boys to have a pond, you know, if she let them go play outside right. by themselves, and she just didn't feel comfortable about it. She all didn't right. want it. She asked him to have it filled in.
Okay.
So Mr. Pavelka, he just could not shake the feeling that something wasn't right about this.
That's weird.
He actually knew what happened to Keith and heard that Darlene was the main suspect.
Oh.
And he thought about it for a couple of weeks and he decided he needed to speak up.
Yeah.
He told law enforcement of how she loved the pond at first.
And that was like the selling feature for her.
Right.
Essentially.
Right. I mean, I guess parents can talk you out of something.
Sure.
Talk sense into something.
I mean, there are things you can realize and be like, whoa, I didn't think of that.
Right.
But to fill it in, because the boys will eventually get older.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like maybe you would maybe put a fence around it or put a fence around your yard
okay.
that goes up to the pond where they can't access the pond.
Right.
While they're playing outside.
Yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
Sounds like a solution.
maybe she just didn't think about it.
Oh, no. I nearly spilled my wine.
Girl.
I would have been more upset that I didn't get to drink it than spilling it on my light-colored carpet.
I don't know.
And my
that.
White blankets. Anyways, back to Darlene.
Darlene. So he tells law enforcement of how she loved the pond at first and that he gave her permission to go out to the property on her own to walk it. And now she wants the pond filled in. Something wasn't right. He had a feeling that she might have thrown evidence into the pond.
Wow.
Now, listen, when God gives you discernment, that gut feeling, listen to it. So he did. The dive team went to the property and sifted through the shallow water. The water was only about knee deep.
Oh my gosh.
And sure enough, what they said looked like a stick in the water was actually a .22 caliber 9-shot wow. revolver.
That's, oh, the trash can and then the pond. I just, like, she's like, oh, this is so discreet. I'm going to do these things.
I mean, at least say, I don't want the land anymore. But no, you yeah. were very specific
but
about this
pond.
She
was like, you know what? I do want this, but and like selling of the house immediately, that's so Scott Peterson.
Oh.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, anyway, there's so much to dissect yeah. here, so much to judge, but I'm not going to get into
Carry
it.
Carry on.
Yeah. So the missing gun. The gun had not been in the water long, obviously. Mm-hmm. It wasn't covered in dirt or rust. It looked rather clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, well.
Recently deposited.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wayman Keith's dad did confirm that this was the exact gun that he gave to his son. Wayman would later tell authorities that Keith had been unhappy in his marriage. So, you know, at first they're all about protecting Darlene.
Yeah.
And now he's, I'm sure, processing things.
They've had time to reflect.
Exactly. So he says, well, he was unhappy in his marriage, but he really was trying to make things work or trying to stick it out with his wife.
Yeah.
They did have financial trouble. And as a matter of fact, Keith had just found out that Darlene had opened a couple of credit cards.
Oh.
And they weren't being paid.
Oh, Darlene, you got to pay those things.
Yes, ma'am.
I found that out. I realized that at some point.
Yeah.
When I was an adult.
You
have to pay it back. It's not just free money.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, I mean.
So also, Keith did have two large insurance policies on himself.
Wow.
Like $750,000 worth.
That's a chunk.
Yes. So with no other leads or evidence that anyone else murdered Keith, they honed in even more on mm-hmm. Darlene. So the Texas Rangers concocted this plan, a ruse, if you will.
Oh.
They had the guy, Mr. Pavelka, that was selling the land to Darlene, to call her and tell her that he was willing to fill in the pond, but he was concerned about getting his tractor stuck. He would have to get a pump and drain out the water.
Oh, and that can't happen.
So he says, we'll get it done probably tomorrow, I think is what he told her. So the Texas Rangers set up a camera, a hidden camera in the woods to see if she would panic and go out there.
Yeah. And you know, dig around, right. Try to get it.
Sure enough.
She did.
The plan worked.
Oh my gosh.
The next day on the hidden camera, Darlene can be seen wearing rubber boots and sifting through the pond.
Dude.
Looking for the gun that she recently dropped into the water. She was searching in the exact spot that the gun had already been found, unbeknownst to her. I would say that they had all the physical evidence that they needed. The glove with the DNA, the gun residue on the glove, the gun found in the pond, and now the video of her searching for the said gun.
Oh my gosh.
But she had an answer for all of that. Of course, her DNA would have been on the glove that she brought home from her nursing job. It doesn't mean she was the one wearing it when Keith was shot.
Uh-huh.
And she was only searching for the gun in the pond because she heard a rumor that the gun was in there. And she wanted to go find it and turn it in herself.
She heard a rumor from who?
A rumor.
Jim Bob down the street?
What? I don't know. Well, I do declare.
Why didn't she just buy the property and fill it in herself?
Well, that would be too much work for a homecoming queen.
Oh my goodness. This woman's an idiot.
She says she only went to the pond that day because Mr. Pavelka asked to meet her there. And why not just search the pond while she was there?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
But thinking about it myself, like, wouldn't it be easier to look for the gun in the pond after it's drained? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, good.
You're going to drain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So February 2007, she went to trial.
Mm-hmm.
Her defense fired back that Darlene was in shock, hence the reason for her behavior on the 911 call. They tried to create reasonable doubt, saying that the man selling the property to Darlene put the gun in the pond and was trying to set her up.
Okay, that makes no sense whatsoever.
If that was the case, why did she clench her booty cheeks and run as fast as she could?
Seriously.
To get the gun out of the pond. Right. I mean, it's a no for me, dog.
No.
she claimed there were several lies made on the stand, and she brought up the glove that was in the trash can, saying that the crime scene investigators never took pictures of the trash can. So how could they prove that they got the glove out of the trash can?
All right. Well, okay. I mean,
but her DNA was still on it.
Right. It was still on it.
Just another thing to her point that she was being framed only because law enforcement wanted to solve the case as soon as possible and never looked at any other possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Her defense lawyer never even called any witnesses.
Oh, I hate when they do that or don't do that.
Oh, yeah. And they highly suggested that Darlene not get on the witness stand.
Well, I would also suggest the same.
Keep your mouth shut. Yeah, and before she knew it, the defense rested. Like, it was a surprise to her.
At least call some character witnesses.
I know.
The love.
Yeah, she was not happy when they rested. Mm. She was like, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
In the end, the only motive that they had was that she killed him for the money. I mean, that's motive enough.
Mm-hmm.
She never admitted guilt, thus never gave any answers as to why she murdered him. She has done a TV interview that you can watch, and I'll post the link. But she talks all about her perspective, and she loved her husband, and it just, just go watch for yourself. Darlene was found guilty by the jury and sentenced to 66 years in prison.
Oh.
So, yeah. I do have a song dedicated to this case.
Go on.
You want to hear it?
Are you going to sing it?
Yeah. Darlene, 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 Darlene. Why'd you have to go and shoot your man?
I love it.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Darlene. I'm wondering why you had to do that, and then why'd you have to go and put the glove in the trash can in your kitchen?
Why
the pond?
Why?
The pond.
Oof. Yeah. On a serious note, though, Keith's family, they got justice. It was bittersweet for them. Actually, Keith's dad did say he was sad for Darlene. I think just that. No, I mean, I don't wanna
say. She was part of the family. I mean, that she was part of his family. So it's
I don't know if it was that he was sad for her. I think he was sad because it was proven to be her.
Yeah, yeah. So he's lost his son and he's lost his daughter-in-law that he loved.
And actually his parents, Keith's parents, got custody of the three boys. Wow. So they're in a loving home with their grandparents.
And for them to have lived next door and she was trying to move, you would think that if your husband just died, like having that support right next door would be essential.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when that's their grandparents, your children's grandparents, right next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, none of it. None of it looks good at all.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I wish I had more to tell you about Keith because, I mean, every picture I saw of him, he's just got this big smile. Aww. And he loved to laugh.
Keith Gentry.
I know. I think he just loved laugh to the fullest.
Oh my gosh, did he have a mullet?
No.
Really?
Yeah, he was just a educated guy.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, he was clean cut and just a handsome fella.
Why, Dar? Why?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for telling us his story. That's real, real sad. And I hate not knowing like why. But again, we find out why in a lot of our cases, and it's never good enough. So
I know. It's just greed. Greed will make you do really stupid things.
Yep. Yep. Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Okay, let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.